So I clicked the button and we are on.
Okay.
Oh, so today we are going to be talking about the subject of the Holy Spirit is God. So Galatians 5:22-23 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. His most famous sermon, Matthew 5-7, Jesus taught us kingdom first in our life, as his words outline the high expectations of those in his kingdom. It doesn't take us long to recognize a problem: our behavior. We simply can't perfectly meet this standard on our own. It's not in us to naturally love those who mistreat us. We often are too selfish to be generous. And we spend a lot of time building the kingdom of our own life rather than the kingdom of God. So, why did Jesus command us to live a life he knew full well we can't live on our own? The key is that Jesus never asked us to live a Christian life on our own. In fact, Jesus spent significant time teaching about his indispensable gift for living the Christian life, the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his followers it's good for him to go away, because the presence of the Holy Spirit would be coming into their life. God in the flesh was a wonderful gift, but God living inside us is even better. When God lives inside us, he can empower us. He can help us grow and help us in a unique way. So today, we're going to look closer at how the Holy Spirit is God. So, first question, share about a time when you were caught doing something wrong by your parent or teacher or an authority figure.
Right. That's where we want to start today.
That's where we're starting today.
Where do I start? I was a bad child. When I was five, I didn't even ask my mom and dad. We were in a store. I didn't even ask them to get it and for them to say no. But I stole a pack of gum.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so I didn't even wait to get home. Did I hide it in the car? I put a piece of gum in my mouth. Well, you know, I think it was double mint, you know, so everybody could smell it in the car.
Yeah.
And so I was asked, where did you get that gum? And I'm like, well, I had it. I lied.
Yeah.
Not only did I steal, but I lied. Mm-hmm. You know, well, when the truth came out and I ended up telling my mom what I had done, I had to go back to them and pay for it.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. That's one of them.
I remember one summer, the summer between freshman and sophomore year, I think it was, my parents had let me go out with friends to a movie, which that was a big deal, because I finally had a friend that could drive. And so...
That is always a big
deal. Oh, yeah, it's a big deal.
Yep.
And
you got the whole world open, do you?
Well, they basically, what basically I told my parents is that we were going to go see the movie The Man in the Iron Mask. Mm-hmm. And instead, when we got to the theater, we went to Scream.
What is the other one rated? I know Scream is 13.
Scream is R.
Oh, is it R?
Yeah. So Man in the Iron Mask was PG-13. Anyway.
Okay. I haven't seen either of them.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know the other one.
I was like, you know, I'm just going to go and see this movie with my friends. Because that's what my...
Because that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do. And then I got home and my parents had never really given me the Grand Inquisition about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm an only child and I was perfect.
Yes, you were.
And so they asked me how the movie was. And I just started giving, general answers.
Yeah. Because you didn't know.
Yep. What I didn't know is that my parents had already seen the movie.
So they could ask you questions.
So they started to ask me questions about the movie. And
that you couldn't answer.
You got this weird feeling in your stomach.
Couldn't get there. And I finally had to fess up. about mm-hmm. what I did. And I never went out with those friends ever again.
Yeah.
Ever again. See, my kids don't understand. Like, that was a shutoff. It was done. Mm-hmm. They don't get that knowledge.
But that was your decision, not your parents.
Yeah. Well,
they weren't.
Oh, to kick me out of my friends and not be able to go out with them anymore? No, that was them. My parents shut me down.
Oh.
So I only got to see them at church. These were my church friends.
Oh, good. Great influence.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, teenagers are teenagers, whether they're in church or not, you know.
Yep.
They're going to experiment.
It was back in the day when you had dollar theaters. Remember those?
Oh, yes.
Dollar what?
Dollar theaters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When it went into the dollar theater, we were going.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. And like quarter popcorn or something.
Yeah. Somebody was making like $2 an hour.
Uh-huh.
Well, popcorn is so cheap.
Oh, my gosh. But they still charge $10 for it when you go.
I know, but the oil and stuff is more expensive. Uh-huh. You know, the buttery flavors and
yeah,
all
that's not real butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. All right. We've thrown our sacrifice on the altar. What you got?
Let's see. Well, mine's probably similar to yours, and I never came out and told them. Mine was they found the cigarettes in my backpack.
Ooh.
Well, where'd you get these? I don't know. I'm holding them for a friend. So that's been the story for 30 years now.
You never have told them the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they, because they know.
What they don't know.
Because it's always a joke. Oh, what? You holding them for a friend? So they know. But yeah, it was always a, well, where'd you get it? Because it was something, it probably started before we moved, that the neighbor's parents smoked. And so you could easily steal a pack from the parents. I never did, but they could. And so, you know, you'd smoke them walking home from school, and it was cool. And then when I moved
walking home, my goodness, that is so open.
Oh,
anybody could see. You were bold.
Yeah. And then when I moved, my best friend, parents smoked. But this was when they were like $10 for a carton.
Yeah.
So now I feel bad about it. It costs so much. But yeah, she'd show up with, you know, a pack, and I'm like, yeah. And then, yeah, my parents found them one time. Oh, no, I'm holding them for a friend. So, yeah. And to this day, it's, oh, you're going to hold them for a friend now? Yeah.
They got you.
Yeah. But it didn't turn into a lifelong habit, so I guess I'm okay.
I remember going into my high school, my brand new high school.
Yeah.
If I had stayed there in Colorado Springs, I would have been the first graduating class to go freshman to senior in that school.
Whoa.
Brand new high school.
Fancy.
And I know. It's not as nice as it used to be.
I'll bet
last
not.
Time I saw it. So,
yeah, my
anyway.
High school, they put bars up while we were there.
Wow.
Welcome to prison.
They,
to keep bad
just
hours.
On just right. on the Sam. Other side of the road from the school,
mm-hmm.
literally just on the other side, on the curb, was the smoker spot. And they, just yes. a bunch of high schoolers all
every,
smoking out there.
I think every school has one of those. Mine was, yeah, across the street.
And the school couldn't do anything about it because
nope.
it wasn't on school property.
Yep.
Huh.
The parents didn't
the wall.
Care. No, there was no wall.
Oh, ours was called the wall. They all sat on it.
Well, yeah. Well, ours was a wall outside. Everybody went outside the school building
mm-hmm.
to the back to smoke. But and I did smoke, but I never went out there because my mom was a teacher.
You would have been caught.
Yeah, she cut it, that kept me in line while I was at school.
Mm-hmm. See, here's the crazy thing: is that every parent that dropped their kid off had to drive right past
mm-hmm.
that. Every bus drove
yeah.
right
and
past.
They all
so
smelled.
So they were just open about it. They
uh-huh.
didn't care.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
So yeah.
Yeah, you and I graduated about the same time.
2001.
Oh, you're younger than me. I'm 98.
Yep, I'm one and you're 98. Got it.
Yeah. I graduated in the 90s.
Mm. That's cool.
That's okay. My kids keep telling me I was born in the 1900s, so.
So was I.
I know. I was
well,
like, no, the
I graduated
1900s
in the
80s. Are like the early 1900s.
What year did you graduate?
81.
My dad graduated in 80, and he's mm-hmm. gotten an invite to his 45th year class reunion. And I think he's actually going to go.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I've gone to everyone except one. I have missed one of our
We've only had two, and we've been to both. Our last, let's see, we did a 10, and then we did our 20 in 18, and we have not had one since.
Wow. We've done one every 5 years.
Huh.
And we pass around who's in charge, and it's always different.
Oh,
sometimes
sure.
it's a dress-up thing with a fancy dinner, and sometimes it's at a winery.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've done all sorts of different stuff.
My aunt and uncle, I think they do it, like, every year. I mean, she's always in charge of the committee. They're from Prescott, Arizona. And then, yeah, ours, I'm like, yeah, we've had 10 and 20, and so 25... should have been 2 years ago and we never had anything. So maybe at 30.
I don't plan on going on to any more because it's in Illinois. And
oh, yeah.
So
mine would be in Georgia.
Well, mine's in Arizona, so.
I've always wanted to go, like, for a homecoming game.
Yeah.
Because Georgia has football.
Oh, okay.
And it's, like, big-time football. Like, high school football in Georgia is, like, the NFL.
Okay.
Level type stuff. And so I'm like, I really kind of wanted to go to a homecoming, but
yeah.
I'm not close.
Well, our school actually doesn't have their own football. They did when I was in school. But since then, they have teamed up with two or three of the neighboring schools.
Yeah, they'll do that.
So that they could have enough
people.
Mm-hmm. Kids, yeah, a team.
Hey, you gotta watch out on those things because that's how Phillipsburg gets shut down and integrated into Conway.
Yeah.
Which none of us have experienced, but it is a thing. There's still people around that have been to Phillipsburg school.
So. Yeah, well, when I was young, I went to like kindergarten in Palmyra, first and second grade in Headick, a different town, because they weren't consolidated yet. And then, like, fourth grade was the new building where we actually had consolidated, you know. So from fourth grade on up, we were consolidated. But before then, my sister went to Modesto, Scottville, Headick, Palmyra, all of them. Uh-huh. She's the only person that made it to all of the schools before we consolidated.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Well,
those were the days.
Let's watch a video.
Okay.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit is God. It's hard to imagine how difficult it must have been for Jesus' disciples to watch him ascend to heaven. Having thought they had lost him once, I'm pretty sure they would have preferred to keep him around. And Jesus left having given them a friendly warning about the challenges they would face. They would be kicked out of their synagogues, rejected in society, and many executed. But Jesus had something far better for them. Jesus explained, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." Jesus promised that even as he left, they would not be left alone. He would send his Holy Spirit. Who among us wouldn't love an opportunity to sit with Jesus, to ask him our questions, to get his advice, to be healed by his touch? We frequently talk about God and Jesus, and yet too often miss the power of that third member of the Trinity, whom Jesus said would come. The Holy Spirit was not new to the disciples, nor is he new to us. Since the Old Testament, the Spirit frequently appeared upon men and women with wisdom and strength. In later times, the Spirit had been there, drawing us, convicting us towards Christ. But with Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, the Spirit took on a unique role. The Gospels tell us that at the moment of Jesus' death, the temple curtain that had covered the most holy place was torn in two. It's an image that took on even greater significance when the disciples who were gathered in prayer suddenly experienced the sound of a mighty windstorm and tongues of fire descended on each of their heads. They understood that moment. moment. What Jesus had promised was happening. They were being filled with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that had dwelt in the holiest of places now descended on them in that common upper room. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, was with them, in them. They began to worship God in an outburst of language in tongues not of their own. Peter, attempting to explain to a gathered crowd what was happening, turned to an Old Testament promise. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Peter was quoting the prophet Joel. What they were experiencing had been spoken of long ago. A day would come when God's Spirit would be poured out, not just on anointed heroes, but on all people, young and old, men and women. Those disciples were living in the last days, and the Spirit was poured out on them. But it didn't stop with them. Wherever the gospel went, so too the Spirit. Their day is still our day, this great age of the Spirit. And as Joel had promised them, so too Scripture promises us. Christ has gone so that we might receive His Spirit, so that you might receive His Spirit. The Spirit is upon you. The Holy Spirit is God.
That's ironic.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. I thought, did you look at this
no.
before? Isn't that the awesome the way God
no,
works?
I make a point of not looking ahead. So, we're saying this because it's like, that's almost exactly what I preached this morning.
Oh, okay.
On Joel and, yeah.
Yeah, Joel Jax and then Peter's message.
And Peter, yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you guys now? You were in Revelation when I left.
No. That was a while ago. Oh, when you stopped being at the church mm-hmm. on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we are, this is Missions Emphasis Month.
Okay.
So we're looking at...
missions of prophets?
No, the like missionaries.
Oh, okay.
Supporting missionaries, global, world missionaries, U.S. Okay. missions. And then next week is what we call Speed the Light Sunday. And Speed the Light is a missions organization within the Assemblies of God, where students, high school students, junior high students, they give money, mm-hmm. and then that money goes to help. That money goes to buy vehicles, mm-hmm. transportation, and equipment to help communicate the gospel.
Okay, gotcha.
So, like. We'll get letters from missionaries or stuff saying, hey, it's my Speed the Light truck, or here's my Speed the Light donkey. You know, whatever they... Because some people, you know, the trucks aren't going to work there, so they need something to climb the mountains better. My Speed the Light alpaca.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those, you know, that sort of thing. They have, but they also do, like, radio, and they also do different things like that to help spread the gospel.
Okay.
So that's next week. And then all the money that comes in the offering for Speed the Light, we'll take with us when we go to youth convention in November.
Right, okay.
And then we will make that as our church giving for Speed the Light.
For that, okay.
So, because usually the church gives like $100 to Speed the Light every year, but I was like, you know, I think we could do better. If I can just get ahead of this thing. So... Kind of like, because they do another Speed the Light offering during youth camp, and then they do a big, and then they'll, but they also do a one-time BGMC offering during kids camp.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But we give throughout the year to these programs, but this is an opportunity for people to do like one-time gifts and things like mm-hmm. that. So,
cool.
They collected up an offering at camp for BGMC on the week that we were there, and I think they said that we brought in $11,000.
How many
awesome.
People were there? I know it was big, right?
I mean, there was like 200 kids there.
Yeah.
But this is kids.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the kids, and that's then you amazing. Got, I mean, you got the adults that are with the kids, but right. most of the okay. adults that are there are not related to those kids. It's like, this is all coming from
them,
the kids.
That's crazy.
So, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the numbers that we get back in from, like, AG World Missions and AG US Missions and stuff like that, it's just like, wow, God is really providing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've still got a lot to do. So here's my question. What were you taught about the Holy Spirit as a child? Oh, sorry, were you taught about the Holy Spirit as a child? If so, what were you taught?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I grew up in the Assemblies of God. And so I have grown up in the Pentecostal tradition, and I understand the Holy Spirit as a part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God being three in one, and he is and was and forever will be. However, he was presented to the disciples of Christ, and available for all believers still today, as he was made available to them all the way back in the book of Acts, the time of the beginning of the church. I've also been taught and believe that he imparts encouragement, power, direction, and guidance for every part and aspect of our life, just as if Jesus was there.
Yeah, the comforter.
Jesus was there right there with you. This is the part of the Trinity of God with us.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, he produces in us the change that's needed in order for us to express our spiritual gifts and to express our fruit of the Spirit.
Does he give them to you, or do you believe that they're already there and he just helps you manifest them? Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm going to go with both and.
Okay.
And so what I mean by that is this. I believe people are born with certain skills that God has already created in them, but that doesn't negate the presence of the Holy Spirit either.
Oh, no, right.
Because the Holy Spirit's been there your whole life anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
However, I think what the Holy Spirit does, in addition to that, is not only does the Holy Spirit guide you in how to use your gifts, talents, and everything that God has created in you in the right way and in the right direction, he also amplifies that.
Yes.
When you have connection with the Holy Spirit and you're doing things through the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, under the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the parable of the talents, if you don't use what you've already got,
yep,
you won't have them anymore.
Right.
Okay.
And the result of those gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
Are the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is the evidence that the Spirit is in you and directing you and guiding you in some way, shape, or form. And can you see the fruits of the Spirit come from people who are not believers?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Yeah. Because we're created in God's image, and that's just kind of how that happens, and sometimes it slips out.
So there.
I also believe, again, that the work of the Holy Spirit did not end in the book of Acts. It has continued, still continues to this day, that the spiritual gifts, spiritual warfare, all the above, still is in effect to today.
Yeah.
There's no reason to think otherwise. My truck is going off.
Oh, well, look at you.
So, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But, in addition to that, I also believe in what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Baptism by fire?
Baptism, it could be called that as well. Okay. Yeah. And what that means is it is an indwelling of the Holy Spirit in a person. It more or less is like a supercharger within a person.
Right.
So, and it empowers people to work in the Holy Spirit in a greater way.
So how do you get that?
So I believe that comes from seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Is it, so it's after your baptism? Or do you believe in baptism?
It is after salvation.
Okay.
However, the Bible describes baptism in the Spirit and baptism in water
as
two separate things.
Right.
And they can happen, and there is no order to them.
Okay.
So, for instance, Cornelius, the Roman Cornelius had Peter come over to his house. His entire family was saved, or rather, they were presented the gospel. They personally accepted the gospel. They began to speak in tongues.
And that was before their water baptism.
It was before their water baptism. Mm-hmm. In fact, Paul said, I don't see why they can't be water baptized. I mean, it's obvious that they're believers.
Right.
So let's do this thing. And then they did it.
Yeah.
So, but again, water baptism, in my mind, if we wanted to go into water baptism, that is a separate thing altogether from salvation. It's separate from salvation. It's separate from baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So, can a person be saved and not baptized in water? Yes.
So, do you do baptisms here?
We do.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious.
And water baptisms.
And we do water baptisms by immersion. And we have that as a proclamation and a dedication of someone's life in a public way.
And they're become a witness to Christ, and they witness to other people that their belief in it.
Which they could already do.
Oh, sure.
However, it is a public demonstration of what Christ has done in their personal lives.
Do you believe once they are saved that they should be baptized in water?
Or they should?
It's just not necessary at all.
I think they should. I don't think it's going to keep you out of heaven.
Oh, no.
But I think they should.
Yeah.
So if anyone comes to Christ, they should
be baptized. Christ was baptized as an example to us. Because he didn't need baptism.
Right, yes.
No.
So, again, that's where I believe, but I was curious because I hadn't seen it yet.
Here, it doesn't happen that often. I have a feed trough out in the shed. I pull in here and I fill it up with water.
Uh-huh.
We do immersion,
uh-huh.
And then I have a water pump I use to pump all the water out before I throw it back in the shed.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you ever done one in a swimming pool? We used to do them in a public swimming pool.
I have
pool.
Not done one
we
in
just
a
have,
swimming
like, a little
pool personally.
Section, you know, it was just us, and we would pray together. And
I have not done one in a swimming pool personally. Honestly, the only places I've ever done it has been in the baptistry at our church in Virginia and the baptistry here.
Around here, there's so many creeks. If the water's clean,
right,
you know.
Or deep enough,
yeah.
But I find it's actually easier for families to come here and experience it in the church anyway. So,
Do you believe that you should be baptized in the Holy Spirit only once?
I believe that there is what is considered an initial baptism in the Holy Spirit. As evidenced by the speaking in tongues.
Uh-huh.
That's evidenced from Acts, the book of Acts all the way through, and the words of Paul. In addition to that, I believe that there is continuous infilling of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in people's lives.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So, we have to be re-encouraged, you know. Refilled.
Well, the way I describe it is refilling.
An empty cup,
right,
so to speak, and needs to be filled up again.
Sure.
For me to answer this question, I was raised in a Christian denomination church. Although they are non-denominational,
okay.
You know. Okay. And they believed in the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and everything, but they did not believe in the continuation of Acts. Acts was at that time in the Bible, and it never ever happened
again.
It was
a special time. That's kind of church that I grew up in, so
I'm
familiar with that.
I grew up, you know, with that, and didn't really know what the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus or God for us, you know, because they didn't really go into that. They acknowledged that he was here, but
the third member.
The third member, yes. And it wasn't until I was in my late 30s, maybe, that I became an Assembly of God.
Okay.
And my eyes were open to, you know, I mean, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was like, okay.
That's a real thing. You experience it, you're like, yep, that's a thing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, the history behind it is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a regular thing up until there was some transition at some point in time within the Catholic Church that ended. Mm-hmm. It happened around the same time as indulgences. If you remember do you guys remember what indulgences were? You could actually pay for salvation.
Okay.
Exactly.
And you would pay not only for the sins that you've committed, but you would pay for the sins that you will commit in the future. So it's like bribing God.
Sure.
Which
see that
penance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's not penance.
Oh.
It was sacrilege.
Okay.
It was heresy. this all kind of fettered through this whole situation until around the time of Martin Luther, when Martin Luther stood up to the church, and then we have the Protestant Revolution. Is that the right word? Did I use it right? Reformation. Reformation, okay.
which is
a reforming of the church back to its core
to the original
Scripture.
State.
Okay. Because what ended up happening is over the centuries, you had Scripture, which by the time Martin Luther was around, only certain people were allowed to read.
Right.
And only could read because it was only ever printed in Latin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I know.
Which not everyone read and not everyone knew.
Or could.
And so when you went to church, you received the message and you just believed whatever they told you.
Yes.
Because they've read it and you haven't.
And you haven't. And you have to trust that their interpretation is the interpretation.
Exactly.
Yes.
Except whenever the priest would give their message, it would come out of a book that came from
Rome. Yeah,
it came from Rome.
Yes.
It came from the Vatican,
and
the Pope and all that mess, and yada yada yada. But Protestant Reformation, and then we go on through history, and then for the Assemblies of God, our history kicks off back in the early 1900s, on Azusa Street in California. It's one of the. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where it is in California off the top of my head. A place called Azusa Street, and they were having a church meeting, and there was an outpouring and a baptism of the Holy Spirit, similar to what happened in Acts 2. And so it was. And when people went back and researched and studied and actually pulled out their Bibles, they went,
"Oh." Interesting.
When did we stop doing that?
Yeah. Why?
Why
when
did we stop doing that?
The 12 apostles died, probably.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it had continued past then.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it had continued past then. The disciples of the disciples continued that. Okay. Like I said, I think where it started to disappear is when the church became more organized.
Okay.
And so I have a feeling. And I don't have any history to back this up at this point, but I from my experience, when people are experiencing life that is super organized, they don't feel like they need direction from the Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Because we're just going to listen to others and what
they've
said. Wasn't
it Constantine that changed a lot of things?
Okay? Yeah, he was good and bad.
Yeah.
There was good and bad going on.
Okay.
What's up, young lady? So, yeah.
So what are you taught about the Holy Ghost? We're talking about different beliefs of the Holy Ghost.
There's different beliefs?
It was my turn.
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks. Well, I guess I grew up fairly similar to you. Non-denominational. We all have... I don't think it was that specific. As I get older, I'm adding two, and so it's hard to distinguish what was... original and what was not.
Yes.
But definitely was taught the Trinity, the three
individual
of God, the Trinity. Okay, because as an adult in the church that I'm in now, they give a slightly different definition of it.
Oh.
And so,
what's that definition?
The Godhead.
Yep.
Two physical beings and one spirit.
Interesting.
And they're individual, yeah, completely separate.
So the Father is a physical being? Mm-hmm. That is interesting.
And then Christ.
Where did they get that from?
Some additional scriptures that we have.
Well, okay.
Right.
Some that were kicked out when they... Yeah.
And so, okay.
Is it from that or is it from the Book of Mormon?
No, it is a book called... we have two books. One's called Abraham and one's called Moses.
Okay.
Huh. Got it. And were they written by Abraham and Moses or someone else?
By them.
By them. Well, I've not heard of those. Now, I've heard of Enoch and...
Yes. We don't actually consider those official scripture yet, but I have not read it yet.
They
I
have are additional,
it at home, but they're additional scriptures.
I've read some of Enoch, and it's interesting. It's really different. Oh,
because I've
goodness.
Read some of the Apocrypha.
Those were
originally part of the scriptures and pulled out, and whatever. And some people believe in them, and some people don't.
Yeah.
But I have read some of it. Some of them are extensions off of Daniel, things like that. And I find those kind of things very interesting.
Yeah.
So we have the Godhead. Mm-hmm. And you can have the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then once you are baptized, your confirmation is then the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you continue with the fruit of the Spirit and study and all of these things, you have the constant companionship of the Holy Spirit.
What about speaking in tongues?
It is understood that we do have it. We do not make a big deal about it. So some have in contexts where it is useful, but it's usually in private settings.
It's not to be public.
Flaunted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
And so, And so, yes, we do believe in that is one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost,
but not
we
as,
have tons of
but
gifts.
Not as evidence of being
correct
baptized.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
And then the water versus the fire. The earth was destroyed by water once, will be by fire again. That's the purification, just like we are purified when we're baptized by the Holy Ghost by fire. We have many gifts of the Spirit. And every Sunday we go over those covenants that we made at baptism and the confirmation. We kind of combine the two.
Yeah.
And so we renew those every week.
Right.
Through our communion. Okay, we call it sacrament, but it's the communion.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we're renewing that every single week, whereas a lot of them once a month, once a year, once a whatever. Mm-hmm. And it says in the scriptures often. So we do it every
whenever
Sunday.
Whenever we get together, you know.
And so we have sacrament every Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's the first half of our meeting.
The church I grew up in did it every Sunday also.
Okay. Yeah. The one I grew up in was monthly. And so, yes, we have additional books that we consider to be additional witness, additional testimony, but does not oversee the Bible. They go together, they complement each other, but not
equal equal to the Bible.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so because we know that this has been translated however many times, and so it's hard to necessarily know what that word means, right? And so we have other books that help us. And actually, I just read one last week that it was a question and answer in one of our books. What does it mean in Isaiah, whatever, when he says this? And it answers it because he had communications with Christ.
Yeah.
Because the prophets who have always been on the earth have direct communication with Christ. They're the in between.
Okay.
So, does that help? Trying not to get too windy.
Yeah.
It's what I've understood from the LDS as well, so.
Okay.
I don't necessarily ascribe to that personally.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Because of
that's okay.
Various tons of reasons, but.
Well, and then talking to different people, sometimes you get all sorts of And then when I join the church, I'm like, answer this for me. Answer that. Let me read all the basic doctrines so I'm not confused. And if somebody says something I don't know, then I go back to here.
Right. Yeah.
Because people have their own ideas. I don't care which church you're in. Yes. The humans bring in, and that's not necessarily what you believe is doctrine. So, yeah.
So, we were talking about speaking in tongues, for instance, mm-hmm. within the Assemblies of God, Pentecostal movement, so on and so forth. The idea of it is it's something that you have in communication with the Lord.
Okay.
It's a way in which you can pray
so and it's
communicate
just
with the Lord. It's a way of communicating. There's two things here.
Okay.
There's a way of communicating with the Lord in words that he gives you because you honestly don't know how to pray.
Okay.
So he gives you the words and then you pray.
Okay.
The other one is the outward expression, the public expression of speaking in tongues as well. However, there's a biblical caveat in there, and it's a requirement. If you speak out in tongues, there has to be interpretation. Okay. If there's no interpretation, it is heresy, and it is not right.
Right. Okay.
And that interpretation could either come from...
agree with that.
That interpretation could either come from the person that spoke it, mm-hmm. or it could come from someone
else
in
the
because you could sit there during a meeting and not understand a thing going on because it's a different language, and then all of a sudden I'm understanding what's going on.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. I could be speaking to a group of people, and I can't cross language boundaries, yet they know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So,
like I said, I've heard all different things about it, and so I'm sure there's a actual versus what you hear, so I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's do the next question. What does... Oh, see, it's asking about a story.
Acts 5:1-4.
Acts 5:1-4. Ananias and Sapphira. Ooh. Not good.
Acts 5:1-4. Okay.
If you would.
Sure. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou received this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things.
It's a very nice way of saying you got struck down and died.
Yeah.
Too bad, you're done.
You gave up the ghost. That's the first time I've heard that one.
Yeah.
So basically what we have here is we have Ananias and Sapphira. They sold property, and he brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount.
Mm-hmm.
With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Mm-hmm. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you done this? Mm-hmm. And then Ananias fell down dead.
Oops.
Later on, Sapphira shows up, says the same thing. She falls down dead. So, essentially, they've lied to the church, and they've lied to God. So what does this story tell us about how we should behave with our fellow believers?
Honestly?
Don't die.
Yeah.
Be honest with our peers.
Yeah.
And
but I do see in or have seen in churches where people are so deceptive.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a church I worked with, and the pastor's wife had a very specific talent and gift. I believe it was from the Holy Spirit to pray people out of the church.
Interesting.
Because
I prayed people out of the workplace.
Right.
I'm like, this person needs to go, and I would pray and pray and pray. You know.
I'll pass places in Springfield or whatnot, and I know that it's a place of darkness, and I'll pray for God to shut it down. It's not something that I need to do. This is his fight.
Yeah, it's not.
He's already won. I just get to watch what happens.
Right.
So, that's kind of where I'm at on that. Because, you know, Peter and the other disciples didn't have to strike down Ananias and Sapphira. God did it for them.
Sorry.
Because they thought they could get away with lying to God.
Right.
And, you know, I wasn't there. And I'm thinking, man, that's really harsh. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how many times have I lied to God? And he hasn't struck me down.
Right.
And then I go, oh, that's grace.
Yeah.
Grace is great. I love grace.
Well, isn't like grace getting something that you don't deserve, whereas mercy is getting something that you don't deserve?
No.
Yeah. Well, grace is, mercy is
not getting something
not getting
that you deserve, and you grace deserve. Is getting something yep. you deserve. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think both happen on a daily basis.
I get a lot of grace and a lot of mercy.
Oh, yes.
Right? Yes.
And so many times we thank God for grace,
but we forget
about the mercy.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are so many times I could have been struck down or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and... mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, for mercy.
I used to scare my kids Second with the chances. Passage out of Leviticus uh-huh. about children that were disobedient.
Oh. Yeah.
Would be
yeah.
taken to the gate and stoned.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Did that get them to behave?
No.
No.
Because they knew I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I have too much mercy on them.
Yeah.
But I do believe, and I strongly believe in this, is that even though grace and mercy exist, punishment still exists as well.
Yes,
oh, yes. There's always a
there are still consequences for your actions. Mm-hmm. You don't get to get away scot-free on these things. So.
Uh-huh. Here's a question. What about those things that we have done that we... didn't get caught for, like mm-hmm. your lie, she's not going to get away scot-free with it.
But it changes your thinking about things.
Yeah.
And it makes you second-guess next time you're going to lie.
Well, think about
I was just wondering, is there going to be punishment, you know, on Judgment Day for things like that?
Yes and no.
Because
let me get into that.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is this. Sin is one of those things that does not stay to itself. There is no such thing as a personal sin that just affects yourself.
Right.
It always affects other people.
Somebody else.
Oh, yes.
In some way, shape, or form. Whether it's a direct effect or an indirect effect.
Mm-hmm.
It will affect other people. So, let's take it to an extreme. If a woman is raped... Yes, that is a sin that was committed against her.
Mm-hmm.
There's consequences for that for the man, assuming he gets caught, convicted, and thrown in jail. And there's consequences for him if that didn't happen.
Sure.
But who else is being affected by the sin of that man? Not just the person who's the victim.
But her whole
sphere,
yeah,
yes.
is affected
Friends
as well.
And family.
That is the effect of sin,
and that could be endless. You don't know.
But the mercy and grace of God overcomes a multitude of sins,
mm-hmm.
and so when that happens, you want to help people get to the point where they can where they can get to the point of accepting that grace and mercy,
right.
And forgive.
Right. And that's hard.
That's incredibly hard.
But on the other hand, there.
But that doesn't mean that the other person doesn't get punished.
No.
So, for instance.
You have to forgive them for yourself, not for them.
Right. So when my kids do something wrong in my home, like, I don't know, simple things, like not do the dishes.
Right.
They affect more than themselves.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had been selfish at that point,
mm-hmm.
but now, I mean, then we have ants.
Right.
Or whatever dishes you need to eat.
Or, you know, the next thing you know, Dad's coming in at 5 a.m. going, I want coffee.
Can't get coffee.
I want coffee. And I stand over their bed this until they get up, and then I say it to them as they're cleaning the coffee pot and making the coffee. I just continue to say the same word over and over and over again. I want coffee. I want coffee. I'm being annoying. But they could have slept another hour.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you're not sleeping another hour because I want coffee.
We were mean when the kid didn't feed the dog and went to bed. We'd wait till it was like 11 or 12 o'clock at night. Dog's hungry. Get up. So mm-hmm. same kind of thing. Huh. Now you're going to do it when it's inconvenient for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because otherwise, if I told you again right then, it would be too easy.
Right.
So again, natural consequences says now it's inconvenient for you and the dog. Get up and go feed that dog.
Yeah.
And so you just wait long enough that it becomes that inconvenience. Otherwise,
taking it back to Ananias and Sapphira, I think this is an important thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the initial establishment of the church.
Right.
This is the first recorded moment that I can think of where someone is lying to the church and the church leadership and to God for their own personal gain.
Right.
So what happens in this moment sets precedent not only for the Jerusalem church, but it would have a nebulous effect
on all those that are around.
On all of us, including all the way out to today.
Today, yeah.
If Ananias and Sapphira could get away with it, why couldn't I?
Right.
If God's grace is that cheap, then it's worth it just to do what I want and then, you know, hope for the best later. And that's not acceptable.
No, it's not.
That's what's called cheap grace. It doesn't work that way. And God handled it right away.
Yeah.
You're done.
And
he even gave mercy to Sapphira.
She lived.
She could have lived.
Yeah.
If she had just been honest
from the beginning,
she could have lived. But she showed up, she lied to them, and died.
They both did.
They both did.
Yeah.
So
you cannot commit sin without someone knowing about it. Even if the only someone who knows about it is him.
Yeah.
Oh, because she died in 10.
Yeah.
That's why.
Even if he's the only one that knows about it.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Because
that's enough.
That's enough. And not only that, he has the ability to make things happen on this world.
With the snap of a finger.
With the snap of a finger.
It's done.
One of the things that has really charred me a lot as a pastor has been the question of, okay, I did this sin. I need to work this out in my own life. Mm-hmm. How is this going to affect the church?
So what do you believe the word repentance means then? Because I grew up with it being a nasty word. And now, it was bad. We don't repent because as long as we acknowledge it, it's done. But I think there was more to what they thought repentance was. And so, whereas as an adult, I have new definition now, but
the word repentance, literally, if you go back to what it means from the original language, it means turning around.
Right. And so you change your mind.
Change your direction, change your heart.
Sign language as it is in that. But so we change direction. We're following Christ again. And then ours has that third step of who did you hurt around you? You might need to make something right. Might.
Yes.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
But it is that third option where who did you affect with your... So if you lied to somebody, if you stole from somebody, if you need to go do the best that you can to make it right with the human that was involved.
That is connected to the fruit of the Spirit.
And not to say that my salvation depends on the repentance, but it is
it depends on the repentance.
Okay.
It does not depend on the
Because Christ already died for that sin.
That's right. It does.
But I still have to make it right.
It requires a repentance.
Yes.
Because you do need to have your heart turned towards the Lord.
I need to have the Holy Ghost again. I need to.
However.
Yes.
What will not keep you out of heaven is whether or not you have made amends.
There's no way that some people can go back and.
No, right. And that's what I mean. If you can.
Remember everything.
In fact, Jesus goes even further as to say that if you harbor hatred in your heart towards someone else, it is similar. It is the same in God's mind as murder.
Okay.
So what that means is that, let's say you've wronged me. If I let this thing fester in my life...
Then it hurts you more than it does her.
Not just does it hurt me, it is sin.
Right.
So not only does it hurt our relationship...
Yes.
It hurts my relationship with
him. Yes.
And sometimes that's where we struggle. I've watched show after show after show of forgiving of someone who's killed their daughter or something like this. And you're like, I don't know. It would definitely be a process. It's not I forgive you today. We're good.
Here's the next leap on that. And this is also in scripture. How do you expect the Father to forgive you if you will not forgive others?
Right.
Exactly.
And it's not about doing things for them.
No.
It's just forgiving them. And this is one of the things I keep telling people. It's like, you do not need to go up to the person who's harmed you to forgive them.
And I don't need to let them back into my home if they hurt people.
You definitely don't need to let them back in your home.
You don't have to trust them.
No. And I don't ever have to have communications with them.
You never let someone who's laundered money in their life collect the offering.
Right? We still learn from this.
But you let them in the church.
Right.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they need it as much as I do.
But why in the world would you let them collect offering? Why would you put them in that position?
No.
You wouldn't
do that.
Why would
you put a sex offender in with the little kids by themselves? Well, you wouldn't do it.
Right.
You have to look at, like, was it Peter? Not Peter, but Paul, that you talked about this morning. He used to kill Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and he was forgiven and...
For murder.
Yeah.
Of
mass murder.
Mass murders of Christians.
Christ's people. Not just... the bad ones, but he was murdering Christians.
Yeah.
And so if he was forgiven, I can be forgiven for most anything I do, right?
Yeah. And he didn't go back to those families and
apologize.
Make amends with them.
No.
Yes. Yeah. They did not need to even know that he...
switched sides.
Yeah.
Right? No. But again, some things... happen that are so horrendous that forgiveness is a process. Because today, I could be okay. Tomorrow, it creeps in again.
And I'm in that situation.
So that is what we call temptation.
Yeah.
And the problem with temptation only exists when you give in to it.
Yes.
So whenever unforgiveness in the form of temptation exists in your heart... that's when you have to address and say, I've already forgiven them.
Right. But again, you have to constantly do that because the adversary keeps bringing it up for you.
Yeah, and you can still sit there and go, I don't trust them. Mm-hmm. I don't like them.
Yes.
But I forgive them.
Yes.
Yeah.
But every day you have to do that. Maybe every hour for the first however long, right? And you have to constantly, because Satan is right there.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you remember?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I do. And I'm not going to today. Stop. And so, sometimes we just have to, and then it'll be a day, and then it'll be a week, and then it'll be maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a process.
Eventually, maybe it is no longer a process.
Right.
Yeah.
And I got a question for you.
Woo-woo.
When someone has the opportunity to come clean, what usually keeps them from telling the truth? I love asking kids this question.
What?
You don't know sign language.
Trust,
okay.
Interesting.
What does that mean?
Why'd you say that?
Why did you say trust?
Because then they don't want to share everything. You have to trust someone for it.
Okay.
if I'm coming to you and telling you I lied to you and tell you something, what keeps me from doing that?
Because being disappointed.
Disappointment. Okay.
Pride. Mm-hmm. Pride's a big one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people are too proud to admit that they've done wrong. Mm-hmm. What else you got?
I was going to say fear, but fear. That falls under that as well.
Yeah.
What could happen to our relationship if I let them know what I've done? Mm-hmm. What could happen to my job? Mm-hmm. What could happen to my future?
Yeah, I had some really big job issues. They wanted me to lie to either students or parents. And every time, I've been that at 3 different schools now, and every time I'm saying, well, then here's my letter of resignation for the next year, I won't be back. Every time. The first one wanted me to lie because a failing student in 8th grade was pregnant, and they did not have any way to help her unless she got to the high school level, so I had to pass her. The next one is a straight-A student, and the parents actually even convinced the principal to turn my high school credit algebra class into a pass-fail so that he would not be affected by his GPA, as he was taking the 8th grade math and had a B. If I didn't give him an A, then I would lose my job. And the parents made a lot of money in this little town, and we couldn't have that happen. So guess who got valedictorian that year because of my A? And then the third one was, you cannot tell the kids where they test. If you're going to give placement tests in the classroom, you cannot tell the parents how the students do. Mm. And I am so sick and tired of things like that. I said, well, that's fine. I will do what you ask me to do, but I will not be back for another year. I no longer will be an employee here.
That poor person that
every
got
one
passed.
Of us. Every one well, of
yeah,
us.
Well, yeah, they got passed when they should not have.
Well, we're just going to pass her along anyway because
well,
she's pregnant
so much,
in 8th grade.
You know, and all these little towns around here.
Oh, this was in Arizona, so one of them was here, but two of them were back in Arizona. And this is what public school wants anymore. No child left behind, yet we're going to give them
they're
a
just let them. They're not left behind?
Nope.
It's just everyone else has been dropped down.
Yep. So I have issues with that honesty thing, and when I am asked not to be honest, I usually am done.
Yep.
And
that's integrity.
I can't do it.
Yeah. I was asked one time to do Medicare fraud and bill Medicare for services that person had received but did not follow the Medicare guidelines.
Right.
When they received those, and I refused to do the billing, and I explained to my supervisors why I would not bill it. Mm-hmm. And they said, bill it.
Anyway.
Every day. My boss would walk in. She's like, get that billed today, Marlene. And I was like,
well, and
no,
in the
I'm
restaurant
not
business,
it. No?
I've been called multiple times now for people that want me to pay them to put good reviews onto Google. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's crazy.
I'd rather have just my 30 reviews and let them be honest. I don't want you anywhere near. Now, if you want to come in, order, make a review, be my guest, but don't ask me to. And again, people are like, you have a 5-star rating. We weren't quite sure about that. And then we came here, and I'm like, well, good. Because people do that,
yeah,
right?
There's bots.
I've never heard of that.
Oh,
but of course.
It's called bots.
My mom said they used to do
you
that
pay
to
for
her.
Ratings.
Yeah. And I'm like, my mom said in her business, she used to be a nurse, they would call her and ask her for ratings, too. And I'm like, no, I'm good, thanks. I'll just keep it slow and steady, and I don't want it.
I have a meeting at 7:30.
Okay.
And I want to be respectful
of that
of
person.
Our time.
What I just did share answers that next question.
I know.
Yeah, about a situation where a person in authority wasn't being honest.
Does anyone have any prayer requests?
Oh my gosh. Let's see, where am I at this week?
Well, I do. Oh. That my results from my biopsy on my thyroid comes back negative. Yes. Yeah. I feel confident that the Lord is, whatever happens, the Lord
happens.
It's the Lord's
desire.
Yeah.
Or will, so, or something.
I'm not totally concerned about it. I've been ready to go home to Jesus for so many years, but he's not
You're
done with me
here.
He's not done with me here yet, so I have to do the best I can here.
I've got, let's see.
That's mine.
A friend that just had his appendix pulled out. A distant family member just had a stroke. And what was the third one? Oh, a friend of mine. His dad's just been diagnosed with prostate cancer. So I've got like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
So.
You can put my brother on my list. He's struggling with having lost his wife. Unexpectedly, you know. Would have been easier to take if she had been sick for a long time, but I mean, yeah. She wasn't in the best of health, but it was like she was okay on Monday, and she died on Friday. So
wow.
It was just like every day
yeah.
She got
worse and worse.
She had water on the brain, but they didn't know why. Mm-hmm. She'd never had it before. It wasn't an ongoing thing, and
it's
so they didn't know what caused it, and so, yeah.
They couldn't fix it real well, and there she goes.
Yeah. So my brother's really struggling with that. His name is Scott, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys to pray for my schooling. It's incredibly stressful right now.
Mm. Are you almost done?
I have another year and a half semester.
So, okay. So a year and a quarter?
Yeah, pretty much. And so,
what in particular with your school?
It's a lot of work right now.
Oh, okay.
And I need to get all of my practicum information and paperwork done by tomorrow.
Oh.
And I'm waiting on other people to do things.
Well, that's always fun.
So, there's that. Also, if you could be praying for our finances, our personal finances.
Okay.
Every month, for the past 3 months, we have had some sort of major expense that we've had to pay for.
Yeah.
Whether it be car taxes, a repair bill, or you know, we've made a big payment on our home. And
yeah.
These are all decisions that we've made in order to help us in the long run.
Sure, but they're hard
In the immediate, it really hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have as much as we would normally have in our budget to handle certain things and do certain stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating.
It is.
It is, yeah.
So.
Especially when you have kids that don't...
Yeah, and every week they need $20 for this and $20
year.
For that
oh
and this
my
for
gosh.
That and this for... And I'm like, really?
I don't got it. I'm gonna go get a job.
I'm gonna pray quickly.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
I'll be praying over these for this week as well. If you guys remember them or however you want to do that, please pray for them as well. So, Lord God, thank you for bringing us together today so we could learn more about Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord God, as we leave from here, that you will be with us and guide us and direct us as you always have and you always will. I pray for every single one of these prayer requests, Lord, and the prayers that we will give you throughout this week, that we can continue to be faithful in all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I will give
this
that
is
to
a
Leah.
Lavender hand scrub.
Oh.
Salt scrub. And this one is, what is this called? Clary Sage? I don't remember.
Good, she needs soap.
Soap. I love
Whoa.
Homemade soaps, so.
She's old now.
I know.
So, this is how my family works. For 6 months, she's older than I am.
Oh, we've got that, too. Ours is 5 months, but
yeah.
To the day.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I get made fun of the last half of the year. And
so, yeah, hers is October to April 11th. And then from April 12th to October 6th, we're the same age.
We're, I was born July 11th. He's December 11th. We're exactly, yeah. Same stuff. Yeah.
So, all right. I got to get this.
You got a lot of lights.
It'll keep you going.
You have a lot of